am special guest
Jim Pergolesi.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. As always, I'm your host, Dave, and as always, alongside me is
Trevor.
Trevor, what's happening? How are you?
I'm just doing quite marvelous, Dave.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. Season 5, episode 5. We got a big reveal, a lot of news on this episode.
So much, so much special guesting, and I got a lot of things I still want to talk about too.
Oh, good. Oh, do you want to talk about them ahead of our interview, or on the other side, on the end of the show?
Maybe I'll start with just a couple quick ones.
Let's do it, and then after that, we'll get to our interview by popular demand with popular runner Jim Pergolesi.
Yeah, let's do it. And so maybe just to get it's a newer segment, but it's one that we got some feedback on, and it's news, and with it, there's also a little fact check in there too.
Okay, I like it. Let's do it.
So we talked about the equalizing distance last week for wheelchair racing and able-bodied racing as being 1 mile. Learned from a possible future guest, special guest Joe Walsh, that it's actually 800 meters, not a mile. That's
okay.
That's the distance. Yep.
That's the equalizing distance. That's interesting.
Yeah, because 800, 400 is a tough race. For like the push rim, because it takes a while. You're like just getting up to speed.
Yeah.
800, you can sort of take advantage of being like at that higher top speed for a little bit.
Okay.
So I feel like that, you know, can be pretty close race to the finish. But once you get past that to like a mile, apparently that's when wheelchair starts to have the advantage.
But the advantage starts at 800, you said, right?
Or that's like around the point where
that's
like
the equalizer.
That's like the equalizer. Yeah, not a mile.
Does this take into account the 600, which I don't know if wheelchair racers generally compete in? I competed in it in high school. If competing is how you would describe what I was doing at the back of the pack.
I'm not familiar really with the 600.
I don't know how common it is. I haven't seen it a lot since high school. Indoor track and the North Shore in Massachusetts, but we ran it every week.
Oh, indoor. Maybe it's a popular indoor distance. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. And you know how like you know, those indoor tracks, they're not all the same size, right? Because like
some of them might be 600 meter tracks. So that would make sense that it's like a one lap race.
Some of them might be. The ones we ran on were not. They were smaller, right? So they wouldn't have been smaller. 600. But it was always like a weird amount of laps, right? Like a 600 meter. I can't remember what it was. It was like 2.5 laps on an indoor track. But all of our track meets, there were 9 schools in our conference or our division, and only 3 of the schools had indoor tracks. So all of our meets were at one of those 3 schools.
Okay.
So, and they weren't all the same. one of them was different than the other two, like in length.
Yeah, that's tricky. That's tricky.
What were they doing up there? If anyone can write into the mailbag and let us know what the heck is going on in the Northeast division, I think, 3 Northeast.
I think the more common distances nowadays are for like no hurdles, just racing is like 100, 200, 400, 800, 1600.
Yeah. And I feel like that's what I see when I turn on the Millhouse Games or something on TV. I don't know why we were living in a world like where a foot is measured by the length of, you know, the governor of Massachusetts. Like every kingdom has a different definition of a foot. Well, I don't know why we were still living in that kind of world, like why we had different races.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, that fact check has turned into an opportunity for a whole lot more fact checks.
Yeah.
And the related news was just on the Mass high school state championships, in which there were, I think, in all of those distances. So the distances they ended up running for like the wheelchair, like which they run both races concurrently. So you have to think about it like, okay, there's like the they're running like able-bodied milers, and then there's like also like concurrently like a wheelchair race like on the same track at the same time, right? But they're running two different races because different divisions. But in the wheelchair division, I feel like there were state records set in the 1 mile, the 2 mile, and possibly the 800 as well.
Wow. It's
Yeah.
a historic championship.
So there you have it.
Congratulations to all the winners and the new record setters. Those are Massachusetts state records. Is that what we're talking about?
It was no, well, Massachusetts. Yep, Massachusetts state records. All by Del Mas Mayo.
Hey, congratulations.
Congrats.
Hey, and that's a state with a lot of running history, so we take that seriously.
It was so there you have it. News, some fact checks, and a lot more to come. So I guess we should probably jump into it and then maybe come back on the other side.
Yeah, let's go right now to our talk with popular runner Jim Pergolesi. We do a couple of segments we hinted at last week, and we have the big reveal during our interview with Jim. We reveal who this year's goal special guest is.
This is the Power Motion Picnic
We were just talking about musical theater because
Oh, really?
I was saying my wife is watching the Tonys, and I asked if Trevor's wife was, and he said no. So the same question to you: is your wife watching the Tonys?
She is not.
He's missing out. I
I didn't know the Tonys were tonight.
didn't either. It's a big day.
Are
Who
they
knows?
on a major network?
Think so. Unless,
ABC, you know, one of those?
yeah, as far as I can tell, but for all I know, maybe the Tonys are only aired locally in New York City.
Yeah, I'm gonna go so far as to say not only is my wife not watching the Tonys, I'm pretty sure neither her nor I have ever seen the Tonys.
Well, it's just like any other award show, except all the performers in this one, you've never heard of any of them.
That's right. Yeah. Definitely watched it at some point in the past, but I was shocked earlier. You know, cultural references are so different. I was shocked earlier when I tried to watch the French Open finals and
Yeah.
couldn't find it. I had to watch it on Max streaming.
Really?
I
I think.
don't, we don't have cable, so.
Oh, yeah, I think it was on TNT.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it.
Did you watch any?
I watched it this morning with my coffee, and then at about somewhere during the fourth set, I was like, "All right, I gotta get moving." So I went to the gym and I watched like the whole fifth set from the treadmill, and I got there like just after the fifth set started, and I couldn't tell you how long the set was, but I ran 8 miles.
It was amazing. Yeah, it
Yeah.
was good tennis.
I think that's one of the best tennis matches I've ever seen.
And also one of the longest. I mean, I think if I had started at the very beginning, who knows how many miles I could have run. It
Did
was
you?
like five and a half hours, I think.
Yeah, it's 5.5 hours.
Yeah.
Did you
So I've
get on?
run 50K in that long. Yeah. Well, you'll have to try. See if we can find a
Yeah,
recording of the match. I'd like
yeah.
to send you out with it.
You could just listen to like a podcast version of it, so you can just listen to the sounds. I'm a Jannik Sinner fan, so I was really hoping, as anyone who follows knows, he was beating everybody in three sets, and he'd have a lot better chance if he could pull that off today. And if it went long, then all of a sudden it switches and Alcaraz becomes the favorite, I think. But I also just didn't want to sit on my couch for 5 hours.
Yeah, I did yard work, mowed the lawn, went for a run, biked with my son, did a lot of things in between.
Yeah.
Watched like snippets of it, but then luckily caught the end. It was good.
The end was amazing. I'm glad we all watched the French Open, except maybe Trevor.
Yeah, no, I didn't see it. I was out doing things other than watching it.
Well, this is an exciting episode, and so we should do the part we never forget to do, but we always say we're going to forget to do, which is have the guests say their name and introduce themselves. And this is a very special episode because our guest today is the first guest ever to appear on the show 3 times. Yeah, how about an
Wow.
old-fashioned say your name, special guest?
I am popular runner Jim Pergolesi. I
Okay.
like to run.
Enough said. Thanks for joining us, Jim.
I appreciate it.
I'm sure we're going to go on a lot of tangents today, so maybe we should, which we already have actually. So maybe we should start with a running specific thing. You just ran like a 100K race, right?
I did, yeah. I ran World's End Ultra in kind of central Forksville, PA, central PA, Endless Mountains, really pretty area. It was a really awesome race. It was extremely muddy, most mud I've ever run through, seen. When it wasn't mud, the trails were streams with a little mud. It was pretty intense, but it was a nice day out in the woods.
Did you wear shoes?
I did. Yeah. I've been running in sandals a little bit more recently. I've been trying to get back to it, but no, I don't have the feet to
That.
do an ultra that long.
So, what did you wear? What was your footwear?
I wore La Sportiva Prodigio Pros. They're pretty new, I think. They're amazing. Actually, they're like one of
They
my
plated?
favorite shoes I've run in a while. They are not. They are like a super foam, but there's no plate in them.
That's good. Yeah. I was looking at those Prodigios a while back. They look really great, like when they first came out. But I never tried them on, but they look like a great shoe.
John Kelly, who's on day like 14 or so of his Appalachian Trail FKT attempt, he is wearing them. He's sponsored by La Sportiva. I am not, but
Not yet, not yet.
not yet. But yeah, they're pretty great. I like them a lot. I would highly recommend them.
I never even heard of them.
You've heard of
Lost.
La Sportiva? They do like a lot of climbing gear. But
Oh.
they've done technical like mountain running shoes for a long time. The Prodigio, I tried them and they didn't quite fit my feet right. But yeah, the Prodigio Pro is like an iteration of it. It's pretty. Foam is nice and bouncy, but not too bouncy. Nice and grippy. It's a good combo.
I think La Sportiva, Dave, is like a pretty specific brand that I don't think they make a run like a road shoe.
Okay. Yeah, so
You'd like you'd like it though. It's like Italian or something. I don't know.
I'll check. Yeah, I do like Italian stuff. I'll check it out. I don't know if I know it or not. Yeah, we didn't. I didn't. When we
We'll
start.
add them to our Italian or possible Italian sponsored list. We
I mean,
sponsored ourselves by Chile last weekend.
yeah.
oh yeah, how do you pronounce? I think every single conversation I've ever had about one of those hats is about how to pronounce it.
So, despite the fact that we got a lot of entries in the mailbag this week, we got no entries on how to actually pronounce that, which leads me to believe that nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Do you think that's their marketing campaign? Like, let's just, or everybody in France knows, but nobody else is gonna know. I guess a couple Canadians.
I was gonna say, I think they're French, right? Because I know we said last
I
week,
assume.
I think they're French. Well, we assumed last week they were Italian, but
Oh, I did not catch that.
and then I
But
said it
what
with.
is La Sportiva?
I don't know.
They're either French or
Sure.
they got to be either French or Italian, right?
Could be Spanish.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I can't name like a single
There's
Spanish
no
sporting
way.
goods company, so there'll be a.
There's no way to possibly know.
Yeah, no, if the mailbag doesn't tell us, I don't know anything. I learn everything about running from our guests or listeners. So when our guests don't know, I'm like, okay, the listeners will chime in. But no answer yet. I don't generally know about those kind of brands. I didn't realize when we set up this podcast that like the real thing is that Trevor is like he's a trail runner and I'm a road runner. And then more specifically, he's like the meme account, your boy Scott Jurek, and I'm like the meme account Hot Boys Who Run. And that's like that's the di yeah, that's what we bring.
I know your boy Scott Jurek. I don't know Hot Boys That Run. I'm gonna have to check that one out.
It's pretty good. It's not as funny as your boy Scott Jurek, and it's probably not as funny a topic, you know, like people who run road races. They're funny. They're definitely funny. I mean, they're funnier than regular people.
Is it at least self-deprecating?
Very much so. Yeah, no, it's the same idea. But trail runners are pretty over the top, and road runners are just like, well, they're also pretty over the top, but less so, I think. But that's actually another thing I learned on my visit to what was that? The running store I went to in Minneapolis. Mill City Running, which was a, I just learned so much in, when I popped into that store. They introduced me to the Orange Runner, a recent special
Oh,
guest on the show.
that was an awesome episode. Yeah.
Yeah,
Special guest Luke.
he was good and fast, faster than I would assume a visual artist should be. Like, I didn't know that. I didn't know those two lined up. Jim, congratulations. I asked you what kind of shoes you wore, but what kind of time did you run?
Oh, so it was supposed to, the GPX said it was going to be like 63 and a half or so miles. I ended up running 66 and a half. Couple little tangents. Course was probably longer than I expected. So it was a little more than 100K, but I ended up running 15 hours and like 50 minutes, 51 minutes, something like that. It's a long time out there.
Yeah, you could watch a whole day at Roland Garros.
Seems very
Yeah.
fast though for such a distance.
Yeah, it was
Like
there's
a
a lot of
15 minute pace or something.
somewhere around there. Yeah. It's a lot of elevation. It was like 12,800, somewhere just south of 13,000 feet elevation too. It's a tough course.
That's where your boy Scott Jarrett comes in and talks about the great adjusted pace that was like 7 minute miles or something.
Yeah, if you do
I don't
great
think I had any of those.
if you do great adjusted and age adjusted, like
And age adjusted, yeah,
yeah.
it's almost world record setting.
That's Kipchoge-esque.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
So yeah, I think since you've last been on, you've had the best time ever for great adjusted, age adjusted at that race.
I love when I get my race results and it like tells me my time and yeah, and then it adjusts it for everything. And
Just
which
for
I
you.
don't understand the point. Like it's just to make me feel better.
I
I
guess.
What is age adjust? So is age adjusted? It's pretending that you're younger. Like, what does it adjust to? What's
guess. That's true.
the mean age? Is it like adjusting to a 16-year-old or a 32-year-old or a
Well, I think for like marathon times, like ages go through 34, right? And 35 is when all of a sudden you're in an older age group.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Most races are masters starts at 40 or 45 usually.
That's not helping me. I'm still not
That
winning
may be the
anything.
trail world. I don't know. I don't know
Yeah.
if the road world's different.
I was looking at like the qualifying times recently for Boston and like I think to qualify for Boston at my age, which is all of our age, I think it's like it's so fast. I can't remember what it is now. It's just so insane. I have to run like a 7 minute mile marathon.
Like
It's
three 40 or something.
No, it's way under. It's like
it's like three
2:55.
it's like
Oh
305, I
yeah.
think, for our
Oh.
age. And also they have so many applicants these days
Yeah.
post COVID.
That's great.
They post what you have to get, but then so many people get that you actually have to get like 6 minutes under that.
Right.
So yeah, it's crazy. I looked at it and I was like, yeah, I don't think I can do that. I'm just gonna have to wait until I'm 65 years old and just hope that I can still run, or maybe 95, because you know.
Well, that was my plan. I've talked about it on here before, but my plan was to qualify at 70 because at 70, you have to run 420. And I did just run New York in 419. So
There you go.
if I could just maintain for 27 years, I should be good. Just avoid injury for 27 years and keep the training up.
Doable.
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't gone on any really long runs recently. This eight was actually today was the longest I'd gone on in maybe like a month.
Do you have any other marathons on the horizon you've been looking at?
No, I mean I'm technically qualified for New York this year. And I've already like signed up and registered and paid, but I'm thinking I'm having a hard time meeting all my 9+1 obligations so like, to qualify for next year. So I might defer New York for next year and sign up for another fall marathon this year. That's a new development. I don't know which one, either Philly or maybe the Marine Corps Marathon in DC. Yeah.
Is that a fall marathon?
Yeah, that one's just a little before New York, and then Philly's just a
Okay.
little after. And the reason I wanted to do the Marine Corps is because I don't want to watch people run New York after or like while I'm still training for a marathon, you know? I want to be able to like be watching New York and then telling everyone how I just ran a marathon. I want to be that vibe where I'm like, oh yeah, no, I'm not running. I just ran Marine Corps. Yeah. 4:17. I don't probably not. I don't think I can actually match my 4:19 from last year right now. So
That's got to be a pretty flat one though, right? DC's
yeah,
flat.
probably. I guess New York is pretty hilly.
DC's pretty flat. Yeah, it involves a bridge or two, which are flat too. So, yeah.
I might do it. I'll tell you guys if you guys want to
I don't
come.
I haven't run a road marathon since 17. It's been like 8 years or so.
What did you run?
I should one of these days.
Yeah.
The last one I did was the Wine Glass,
Okay.
which is October. It's early October. It's gorgeous. It's down west of Binghamton, like Corning. Corning Glass Museum. Corning is known for its
Yeah.
glass for some reason. I don't know exactly why, but
Everybody,
it ends in
everybody's
Corning. It
got the
starts in
cornware.
Bath.
The
Yeah.
cornware
Oh,
is
yeah,
like
that's
that
right.
white dish with the little blue flowers on the side that your mom had growing up.
Yeah, we had that.
We have one that we inherited from somewhere, you know.
Why don't I have one?
You cook the casseroles in it. What
Why did I have to buy my own
do
casserole
you
dish?
cook your casseroles in?
I don't know if I do. Cook my casseroles. I don't think I do cook a casserole. I make everything in a Dutch oven.
That's a good like utilitarian piece of cookware too, but it's no Corningware.
I don't know. I learned about Dutch ovens like a year ago, and everything I can do in there, I do.
It sounds useful.
Yeah,
Not
do you have
familiar with Dutch ovens.
popular runner?
do you have either
No.
of these items?
Corningware?
No, neither Corningware nor a Dutch oven.
Dutch oven's great. It's a cast iron pot covered in what, like porcelain enamel, and it comes in like 30 different colors, so you can choose.
Oh, you've got the French one, the
La Crusette.
Le Creuset.
I don't know what that means. I'll have to check with my friends at Sealy. You know, we tagged them in our last Instagram post, and they wrote back to us.
No
Oh, they
way.
did. Oh, they did.
It was like an automated response, but
As I say, they didn't
mailbag.
tell you how to pronounce it.
Incoming
No.
mailbag.
I was excited when I got an alert. I was like, oh cool, I didn't know Trevor reached out to Sealy. And then I saw, and I didn't look at it actually for like a few hours because I wanted Trevor to see it if it was in response to something he said. So I didn't want it to show as red. But then when I looked, I was like, oh, it's just an automated response.
Does it work that way? So if like one of us sees it, the other one, it looks like it was red.
I believe so.
Okay.
But I mean, I don't have confidence in that.
I was just doing a little upkeep on the old account and noticed that you hadn't tagged our new sponsor, CLA, and just was like, I'll just tag them on the post, which is what I did, and then they wrote right back.
That's what it was. I
Was
like
like,
it.
well, I'm not gonna open that because seems to just be an automatic reply.
Let's see. Well,
Let's
it was exciting on
the
my end.
baby get excited.
When I got the
That's
alert,
a de facto sponsorship, really.
yeah, I think we got to count it.
Can you sponsor yourself? Yeah. It does
I.
remind me of that meme on your boy Scott York that's like, go ahead, like add elite runner to your profile summary. Like nobody's stopping you.
Yeah, that's it's kind
Like,
of like adding organic or whatever to like food products in the supermarket. There's no regulations around it.
yeah.
So you can write Elite Runner.
We can be an elite podcast. We've called our shot all along. So
Elite podcast.
yeah. Well, I mean, not that, but like we've whatever we've said we are is what we've been.
It's true. We have manifested
Yeah.
our own destiny. Should we go? We have a couple segments this week. Should we do those before we run out of time? Which is running out of time is our most popular segment. When at the end of the show, we frantically try to, and we'll do it today because I do
If you
love it.
don't cut me off, I'm going to be pissed off.
Yeah. Oh my God. We broke the rules earlier this year. And we had someone call back in, but generally, we try to be a stickler about that. But one thing that we did last week that was very popular was our over the top. It felt like a tangent at the time, but our 20 minutes talking about Fleetwood Mac's Tusk. And so we decided to have a Tusk song of the week. And I think everybody here picked one, right?
We did.
I had never listened. I mean, I'm sure I've heard Sarah before.
Yeah.
Like maybe the only song that sounds like it could be off an earlier Fleetwood Mac album.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was not familiar with it, but it's great. I really enjoyed it. I did listen to a few more songs after I texted with you, Dave. When you asked me for my song, I you know, most of my academic career was based off of doing half the work,
yep.
and then just, you know, answering based on what I had already done. So I got through most of the first album while I was mowing, and I did listen to some more though. It was pretty awesome.
What an album. And what song did you pick as your pick for Fleetwood Mac Tusk Song of the Week?
So not just because it was the second song on the album, but also because I thought it ran well and it was really unique, The Ledge.
I love that one. That was probably my first favorite.
I loved, you know, the bass line just had so much sense of movement. And then, I mean, the whispers in the vocals and all the different layers of vocals in it. It also sounded, I mean, it was a punk song. Like,
yeah,
I really enjoyed it.
And as you mentioned with John McVie's bass playing, it's also a good thing maybe we didn't talk about enough last week, that is like, this is a band that was together for so long and named after the bassist and drummer and who are the only constant members, you know, and they who were not big songwriters, and but they were still the focal point in a sense of the band.
Yeah.
I did cheat though.
Yeah.
I looked at the Wikipedia entry for it because I was curious, and actually Lindsey Buckingham basically said screw you to everybody else, and he played and recorded all the instruments on that song.
So that's not actually, John McVie.
That's not McVie.
No.
Wow.
No.
Well, breaking news on the podcast.
According to Wikipedia.
that's I knew it was a Lindsey song, and we Dave and I were chatting because we had to sort of coordinate this crazy thing of us all bringing a Tusk song of the week to the podcast. And he told me The Ledge. I was like, all right, solid Lindsey pick. Let's keep it going. Because Lindsey definitely establishes the aesthetic for that album. And he produced it and he wrote it. And he wrote, like, you know, he wrote that song. He wrote the songs we talked about last week and was definitely like pushing it. But I had no idea he recorded every instrument on The Ledge.
Yeah. And so I'll assume he did every instrument on my Fleetwood Mac Tusk Song of the Week pick, which was Think About Me.
That's a Christine song.
Oh, is it? Oh. Never mind. All right, with John McVie's bass playing on that is awesome.
I was going to say John McVie's bass playing on all three of these songs is incredible, and the thing that ties it together until
it doesn't.
Until we learned until popular runner Jim Pergolesi came and dropped the bomb.
You know, I always thought my least two favorite Fleetwood Mac albums from earlier years was Self-Titled and Rumors, which I know is most people's two favorite Fleetwood Mac albums.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, that's, I think, why I never listened to Tusk, because I assume it was just like a worst version of those. But it's not. I mean, there are songs that are similar. Like you said, Sarah is similar, and maybe Over and Over in a few of those tracks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is also, I think Over and Over was Christine's song too.
I think that's right. But now I'm not confident in anything I'm saying.
Again, the only reason I know that is because I read the Wikipedia page for The Ledge, which said that they were like trying to record Over and Over, and John came in, Lindsey came into the studio and was like, screw you guys, we're recording The Ledge.
Oh, I like it.
I know that.
And I think Trevor, actually, you picked, I think, I think you picked a Stevie song, right?
I picked a Stevie song, but before we go to that, I mean, think about me. Aside, yeah, that's been one of my favorites on that album for for a long time. That was when Coach Friend and I did the semi-pemmy, my first big like trail running endeavor. We listened to that on the way to the trail, and then he made a video afterwards, and like put that song over it, which was really cool and fitting. So I was very excited he chose that.
Oh, good. It's a good example of a
That's
song
perfect.
that some podcasters think is sung by Lindsey Buckingham, but is actually Christine McVie. We were talking last week about how similar their voices can be. So there you go.
It's very hard sometimes.
And yeah, it's probably more impressive that Lindsey sounds like Christine.
Yes, I think so.
Christine Perfect was her name before she married John McVie.
Actually, her given name.
I don't know about that actually. I'm not
Oh,
sure, but it was
or
her
was it
stage
a?
name for sure, yeah.
When did she marry McVie? Because she was in the band for a while. She was in at least in like the early 70s before self-titled and Rumours, like.
I think she drew the album cover for Kiln House and what but wasn't in the band yet, so I think she joins on whatever album was next.
Did she really draw the cover?
Yeah, I think so. That's a personal favorite that we didn't talk about last week, I don't think. But we talked about we mentioned Jeremy Spencer and Danny Kirwin by name, and I think they're pretty big on that album. So,
Yeah, and then we talked a little bit afterwards about how we didn't feel Stevie was represented enough on our last episode, except so you kindly dropped in Sarah at the end of the episode, which is great. We should probably talk about Sarah a little bit too, but yeah, for my pick, I chose Angel.
Why did you pick Angel?
That driving McVie bass that might have been
That could have been anybody. Yeah.
I think it has like a really unique structure, and in particular, the first line just is left completely unresolved, and then almost just like starts. It almost like just starts over and starts talking about something else. I can share the lyrics if helpful.
Please do, just because some listeners might not know him.
All right. So she says, sometimes the most beautiful things, the most innocent things, and many of these dreams keep passing us by. That's not like an actual sentence. That's not like the first part is just, she's just like, sometimes these beautiful, innocent things. And then it's like, well, and many of these dreams just keep passing. It's like it's
It's
just
like.
completely two different thoughts.
Or it's like
It's
when
the
you're
inside of my head. Yeah.
it's like when you're talking and like you're saying something, but then you think of something and you change course midway through the sentence. Like our president does that a lot, but a lot of people do that a lot where they're talking and then all of a sudden they say, and and they just switch, kind of they pivot without in a way you would never write it down, which I think is actually fine if you're talking, but it's a funny choice for a
When
pre-written lyric.
sung in that raspy, sultry, Stevie Nicks, deliberate, very deliberate, and it's a very interesting way to start. And then I feel like the song just continues to have that sort of like just like subtle shifting like throughout. But yeah, great rhythm, great bass, and
Whoever
then
it is.
either Christine or Lindsay coming in there and sort of augmenting the vocals at like sort of towards the middle and end. Yeah, it's just great.
Think it's one of those albums, right, that like when a band is no longer really functioning, and so like it probably was really unfun to make and like on paper shouldn't work, like a band that used to have this great spirit as a group. And doesn't have it at all anymore, reflected by like what you were saying, Jim, about Lindsey recording his whole songs by himself. But then when you go back and revisit those albums, sometimes they just are better than the group working well together.
The talent definitely shines through even when they're not cohesive as a band.
Yeah. Okay. Well, for the second week in a row, Fleetwood Mac Tusk is our recommendation for running album.
Yep.
We'll see if he can keep the title, if he can go Ken Jennings style and be the recommendation next week as well. And then, Trevor, unless you want to talk about Sarah, I was going to shift topics to another tangent.
I'd love to talk about Sarah, but we can save that for our next Tusk, running song of the week.
Yeah.
I think we should probably get to what all the listeners are dying to know, which is who is the target special guest?
That's what I was going to mention because we only have 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
And luckily, we got some running talk out of the way at the beginning. So, Jim, as you may know, and as our listeners may know, we've been working on selecting a target special guest, a goal for season five. Season five will not be over and cannot end until this potential special guest appears as special guest on the Power Motion Picnic Hour. And Trevor, do you want to say who that special guest will hopefully be?
I'd like to say a little bit more about the process, which is
Okay.
starting tonight. We need to start asking our special guests if they have any sort of like intel or leads that can help get us closer to this target special guest.
Great point. And then when this is released, we would like our listeners to chime in as well.
We need all the help we can get.
Was this a listener suggestion?
We didn't compile how many like votes each special guest got, but this one did get quite a few. But there were a lot of people writing in, so it's tough to say because we didn't actually write them down. We didn't tabulate the full numbers, like because we weren't going based on that. We were going based on our own enjoyment factor of the suggestions.
All
Kind
right,
of what
the suspense is killing me.
had to do what felt right, which to us was Dave Rawlings.
That's right. Musician, producer, and Gillian Welch collaborator, David Rawlings, who we like to call Dave Rawlings. Season five will not end until he appears on this podcast.
He's been getting emails for years from you guys, right? Or not from others regarding the
Others,
podcast. Yes.
well, yeah,
We've been
that's one of
telling,
the
yeah, we've been
one
telling
thing is
people.
just get the mailbag from him.
We've been telling people to reach out to him, but he hasn't been forwarding any messages, actually. So he's probably got a lot to say to us, people have said to him. But yeah, anyone out there who has reached out to Dave, please reach out and ask him if he wants to come on the podcast. Or if you haven't reached and you know how, reach out to us and, send us his email address or his phone number if you have that. Yeah, but
I never actually took it seriously in the early episodes when you used to, say that we should leave Dave Rawlings a message. But now I think I have to.
yeah.
I have
And
no other connections to answer your earlier query, Trevor. I wish I did,
thank
but I
you.
can at least spam him incessantly. No, I won't do that. That would
No,
probably be,
yeah, we have to do it
but
politely.
tastefully.
Yeah, spam him tastefully. And we can't be that far away. We've all played 5 degrees of Kevin Bacon. We're all closely connected to everyone else on this earth. So I imagine we could get to Dave in one connection, but we just got to find where that one connection is.
Do you know if he runs?
We're gonna find out, or season five will never end. So I don't know what that means. We've had some short seasons, we've had a lot of different lengths, but we've never had a season like this that reflects the real world. Like the season has to conform to the real world instead of the other way around. We'll see what happens. Jim, do you have anything you want to share with our listeners or anything you want to talk about that we didn't bring up?
I mean, we probably have like a minute and a half. So, do you
Yeah.
want to do your Western States preview for next weekend?
Let's do it.
Do it.
I got Killian. He's like, he's old like me, and he's a runner like me. So I feel like he should win.
I
It's
like it.
very,
I'm with you.
very deep commentary, I know.
How about in the women's field? Esther Selig?
Yeah,
Just
who came in second
what?
last year? Fu Jian, she's a Chinese woman who is extremely fast. Heather Jackson also, she just won, I believe she just won the gravel race, what is it? Unbound XL, something like that, like a 300-mile gravel race.
Okay.
But she's in there too. She's a strong runner.
Dave and I
Oh,
will. Yeah.
I know Riley Brady.
Riley Brady, that's your pick?
I like it.
Riley Brady is my pick.
Is that the women's
They've
division?
she is or excuse me, they are Riley runs in the women's division.
Gotcha.
They're an awesome runner.
Well, you guys know more than me, and I don't even know who's running, but I'm gonna say Katie Scheid and both is gonna win both the women's and the men's division. I'm sticking true to our alma mater. I won't say it so I don't have to bleep it out. And this is the Power Motion Picnic Hour. Thanks so much, Jim. That was amazing to talk to you. Great to have a three-time guest on the Power Motion Picnic Hour. It's an exciting time to be a podcaster and a runner and a tennis fan, I guess, as well.
Second time popular runner Jim Pergolesi has beat other popular runners from our college, Katie Scheid and Jeff Colt and Hillary Girardi, who we haven't even heard from yet. So
Yep.
congrats on another victory,
I love it.
popular runner.
Yeah, and a pretty exciting reveal there about the goal special guest.
Oh,
David,
huge.
yeah, David Dave Rawlings.
What
What did he
is
say?
it's Poor David's Almanac, isn't it? He does go by David Rawlings more
Yeah.
commonly than my
We keep it pretty casual here.
rather colloquial use of Dave.
But yeah, we're going to try a lot of methods to get in touch with him. I might even try sending a letter by the mail. So maybe I'll use his full name.
I feel like he's a letter in the mail type of guy.
I haven't sent one in a while, but I think I still know how to do it.
I feel like there's a line about that in one of my favorite David Rawlings songs, Ruby. Something about the mail.
We used to send, did you ever, you probably used to send letters by the mail when you were a young man or a boy.
He used to I certainly did.
Yeah.
Old time telegraph man.
That's the song.
That's the line. That's the start of the line.
I would my like
Ruby's the song.
my early boyhood best friend and I would send letters by mail when he was at like summer sleepaway camp.
That's fun. Yeah, I
Yeah.
remember even like receiving letters. They were like the early version of spam, where you'd get like the letter that was like now send this letter to like five other people and tell them to send it to five more people.
That I don't care for. I remember what you're talking about. That's terrible.
It was horrible. It
Yeah,
was like, what is this burden that was just dropped on my lap out of nowhere?
yeah, exactly. You're lucky I don't go to summer sleepaway camp and I have nothing but time. So I will send your 15 letters, but I think they had time at summer sleepaway camp actually. Maybe some time, maybe some good running happened there. I wouldn't know. I never went.
Have been some running, some canoeing.
Did you go to sleepaway camp?
Not usually like t at the typical like over the summer time. I feel like we did a few sleepaway camp school trips, like week
Okay.
long, like sort of sleepaway camp trips that were fun.
Well, you grew up in New Hampshire, so basically sleepaway camp is just everyone else pretending to be you. And I mean, I know you guys had houses. You didn't grow up in a bunk full of boys, but
Yeah. No, but we did go to sleepaway camp in like northern New Hampshire and Maine, where there was like different environment.
in Massachusetts, I think people went to sleepaway camps like, we're really going up there into the wilderness. And it was like south of where you grew up. It was like southern New Hampshire. But there was space there, that's all.
I was watching this little video about or it was like an interview with Sun Ra,
Yeah.
and they were like, so tell me about your influences, like what are some of your influences? And Sun Ra proceeds to say like things like the planets, the mountains, the
Yeah.
rivers, like he just names like a bunch of badass stuff.
That's
It
great.
was awesome.
It's not what they wanted to hear, but whatever. He can say whatever he wants.
Planets. Who are your influences? The planets.
Planets. I got some big ones. Some big influences. Well, I didn't have time for big thinking like that. I had to send my 15 letters. Or did the letter threaten you? Like the way like now you might get like a spam one if like you don't reshare. You know, something bad'll happen. I don't remember.
I feel like there was yeah, there was something that like compelled you to do it, or else,
Yeah,
I
it would
mean,
never work.
the right thing to do in hindsight would have just been to take the letter, crumple it up, and recycle.
Yeah, because you're
They
just
had
kind of.
recycling at that point, which I think they did. I think they had we had the separated bins. We used to go down to the town dump and put the paper in the paper bin and all that.
Recycling was a big deal. That was probably the one of the most intense propaganda campaigns pushed on our generation was recycling, which seemed like a good thing, you know?
Yeah, I remember the Mr. Rogers episode where they did some serious, they went deep into like the recycling sort of infrastructure, the factory. They saw like we learned how recycling was like sorted and everything.
Yeah, and we don't usually get political on the show. I don't want us to, but it is, you know, it really in retrospect, all it was propaganda for everybody to accept the overusage of single-use plastic, which mostly doesn't actually get recycled anymore and just gets thrown in a landfill, or most of it just gets thrown in the ocean.
Yeah, no,
So,
unfortunately, we're learning these things now.
yeah, we now know this. Anyway,
Yeah.
that's a tangent that we don't need to go on. That's a
Yeah.
different podcast.
Yeah. Well, we did consider a lot of interesting Target special guests, one of whom was Mr. McFeely himself from Mr. Rogers.
That was a popular one.
An actor whose name I'm now forgetting, but would
I
have been
never knew it.
mailbag, topical or thematical in that way. But yeah, he didn't win.
Yeah.
Dave slash David Rawlings won.
We're gonna get to the bottom of a lot of questions when we do finally get him on, which we will, which is, you know, what first name he prefers. Does he run?
Yeah.
What music is he listening to these days? What are his influences?
Is Julian Welch more than just his musical partner?
What planet is his biggest influence?
Yeah.
Did he go to summer sleepaway camp? Can he differentiate between Lindsey Buckingham and Christine McVie's voice?
Was his favorite note that Sun Ra played?
Yeah. Did he go to the same college as us? I'm trying to get better at
What
not.
the what and what the hell is in that mailbag, man?
Yeah, is this yeah, exactly. Is the 600 a real distance? Is the answer in there somewhere in the mailbag he's been hoarding for 5 seasons? So many unanswered questions, but possibly answered quite soon.
I'm glad we landed. He is our Target special guest. Maybe he always has been, but it's pretty exciting. And he was up against a lot of good competition and
Yep.
Came out on top. And we did decide, just if you lost Target special guest does not mean you're precluded from special guest. Like,
Correct.
to the contrary, we would love to have you on.
Yeah. We got a lot of people actually suggested someone from the Beach Boys, because we talked
Correct.
about the Beach Boys so much. So yes, anyone from the Beach Boys is welcome to come on as special guest. And we have a liberal, just like we have a very inclusive liberal version of what is running, like what we once classified marching band as a form of runner. So, you know, for us, a Beach Boy could be Brian Wilson, could be Mike Love, it could be Bruce Johnston, it could be John Stamos.
It could be Blondie Chaplin, but
Could be the other guy, Blondie Chaplin's friend.
we kind of hope it's going to be John Stamos. I feel like we didn't even really consider that it might be Brian Wilson.
Yeah.
We just said, well, if it's going to be a Beach Boy who's like partially viable, maybe it's Stamos.
Demo seems available. We've had a lot of drummers on the show. So if you count me, we've had two. So there you go. And
We had
yeah, yeah.
you and Kern.
Me and Kern, the two drummers, but if we had Stamos, we'd have three.
Yep.
Well, okay. Well, soon we're gonna find out whether we picked David Rawlings, because he's actually the next special guest and we want to end this season after episode six, or we're going to find out if we were being true to the spirit of the goal special guest and we want to actually have someone that's going to take a little bit of effort to track down and get on pod to answer all these questions with us.
A little bit of effort. We don't know how much, so we will take, we'll take, you know, help right away. Any assistance that you have, any leads, anybody that might know a way to get to David Rawlings, we'd love to hear.
Yeah, please let us know. And
we begin the journey together now.
Yeah, and until next time.
Onward.
Special guest,
popular runner.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Just like an old time telegraph man, I came here with a simple job to do, 'cause that news coming down the wire, that your head's on fire.